The surrendered prizes were going to represent an enormous and welcome addition to the Carisian Navy strength, and their loss represented a body blow to the Group of Four's plans. Merlin had no idea how the Group of Four was going to respond, but he didn't expect Jaspar Clinton to become any less fanatical in the face of this fresh defeat. And despite the church's losses, the temple still had the capacity to rebuild. The question was whether or not its leaders still had the will. Actually, he thought, I guess that's not the right question after all. The right question is probably whether or not they see any option except to rebuild and try again. "The fortress of Caris is the wooden walls of her fleet," Caleb quoted softly. He straightened, stepping back from Merlin's embrace, putting his own gloved hands on the Sajan's shoulders. "Old John had that right, but he never mentioned the blood inside those walls." "No, he didn't," Merlin agreed. "But it's not the walls themselves, Caleb. And it's not the blood inside them. It's the men inside them. It's men like Brian and Dominic, like Captain Baker and Duncan Yearley, like Hector." He shook his head. "Caleb, they knew exactly what they were doing, and they did it anyway. They walked straight into that holocaust because they thought it was their duty." "Duty," Caleb repeated bitterly. "I am so sick, sick unto death, of seeing people die for duty, Merlin." "Of course you are." Merlin smiled sadly, reaching out to cup Caleb's head between his palms. "That's because you care. But riddle me this, Caleb Armach. If you hadn't been here in Chisholm instead, would you have been on the quarterdeck of one of those galleons?" "Of course I would. It would have been—" Caleb broke off, and Merlin nodded. "Your duty," he said softly, "and that's the true fortress of Caris, and of the Church of Caris, Caleb. Duty, responsibility, love. Because that's the real basis of your sense of duty, and Brian's, and Michael's, and Dominic's, and Charlian's. You think I don't understand about duty, Caleb? That I don't know how much it hurts? The way it sticks in your throat sideways when you see everyone else you know and love laying down their lives out of duty? But the reason they do it is the same reason you would, because they love something enough to die for it. They love their kingdom. They love their emperor and empress. They love their church and their God. They love freedom, and they love each other. And that, Caleb, that is the true fortress of Caris. I don't know where this war is going to go before it ends. I don't know how much more terrible the price is going to be. But I do know that as long as there are men like Brian and all the other men who followed him into that battle, the things you and Charlian and Michael and Angelic and Narman are fighting for will always have the champions they need." "I know," Caleb whispered, closing his eyes again. "And that's what terrifies me, Merlin. I'm going to need them, and I'm going to call on them, and I'm going to send them out, and they're going to die." "Everyone dies, Caleb. Or at least, everyone but me." Caleb couldn't see Merlin smile through his closed eyes, but he felt the pain, the sorrow in it. "It's given to some of us, though, to die for the things we believe in, to know our lives and our deaths mean something. And it's your job, Your Grace, your duty, to see to it that those deaths do mean something." "I know," Caleb repeated very, very softly. "I know you do." Merlin put his arm around the Emperor's shoulders and gave him one last quick hug. "I know you do," he said again more briskly. "But now, let's go inside and get you wrapped around a bowl of hot soup, Your Grace." He smiled again. "I think your wife and daughter are waiting for you." We hope you enjoyed A Mighty Fortress, a Macmillan audio production from Tor Books. This program was produced and directed by Robert Kessler. Executive producer, Laura Wilson. Text copyright 2010 by David Weber. Production copyright 2010 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.